Yeah, Ezekiel chapter 1. The name Yehezkel means God will strengthen. God will strengthen. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, which we discussed before, was the 30th year of the Yovel of the Jubilee, dating from the 18th year of Yirmiyahu, which was the year that Hilkiah the high priest had discovered the Torah scroll, which was thought to be the scroll of Deuteronomy in the temple, and there was a great repentance from Yoshiyahu. Now, that's saying quite a bit, because Yoshiyahu had already, since he had become king, set his heart to follow after God. And so for, it's quite different from saying Manasseh repented. Here you had a man that was striving with all his heart to walk after God, and yet he reads the word of God, sees where they've fallen short, and leads the nation in turning back towards God. Now, this prophecy will occur in the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity. Now, we haven't gotten to that verse yet, but we discussed it briefly in our last session. You remember that the last four kings, your first king was Jehoahaz, and then your second king was Jehoiakim, and then your third king was Jehoiakim. And it is the 5th year of his captivity. The month is the 4th month, the month of Tammuz, and on the 5th day of the month, and as I was among the captives, and here we have the expression that I want you to have this down. I'm going to spell it for you. The expression is Ve'ani, that'd be V-A, apostrophe A-N-I, Ve'ani, Betoch, B, apostrophe T-O-C-H, Ha-Golah, H-A-G-O-L-A-H, the Golah is the diaspora, it's the dispersion. And this will have quite a bit to do with tonight's message. Right, it's among the exile. Among the exile. Exile is a better word than captives. Yes, as I was among... the way Art Scroll has it worded is... as I was among the exile. But that's literally what Gola means, is exile. The diaspora in Hebrew is called the Galut. The Galut. Okay. This same word is used, by the way, in Amos 1, verse 15. And it is also used in Yirmiyahu chapter 29, verse 4, where it's denoting the people of the Gola, the people of the exile. So it can be used collectively for the exile, or specifically for the people of the exile. Now we get to... the next phrase, by the river Kavar, it'd be spelled K-E-V-A-R in Hebrew, Kavar. The C-H there is not a K, but a solid, a hard K sound, Kavar. There's a lot of speculation as to which river this is. Some authorities say there is a river that was called Kavar, others say it was another name for the Euphrates River. As I was among the captives by the river, or the among the exile by the river Kavar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Okay, so our last session we primarily dealt with that phrase, and the heavens were open. And we related it back in the Beit HaMikdash in the temple that you had four veils. You had the veil that was on the doorway, over the doorway of the Hekal, of the sanctuary, the HaKodesh. Remember that you have first the porch, and then you have the Hekal, and then you have the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies. And so there is a veil that is there. There are two veils separating the HaKodesh, the Holy Place, from the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies. And then you have one veil that is in the attic.
The one in the attic, is that just a reserve? Is that the idea?
It is a reserve. It serves a function, though. The function is that the HaKodesh part of the attic could be used for different functions. I mean, not functions, but different usages. Whereas the other portion, because they had the kulin, the little holes in the roof, and it would be possible for someone to either enter the Kodesh HaKodeshim or to look upon it. That it was necessary that there be a veil separating the one from the other.
So it was identical to the one downstairs.
Well, that I'm not sure. I haven't found any accounting of what that particular veil looked like. I have an accounting of what the veil over the doorway into the holy place, and then the two veils in the separating between the holy place and the Holy of Holies looked like. But I have not yet found a description of the veil in the attic. Yes. All we can do, my gut feeling is that it was not a reserve, that it was a veil that had its own function. Okay?
Horizontal, or is it an angle? Horizontal veil here? The one in the attic?
It hangs from the ceiling.
Okay, yes,
it hangs from the ceiling.
I guess I don't understand how it's situated with the two that are like this.
There's a floor in between them. Yes, it's the second story. You go up 40 cubits, and there's a ceiling, and then there's another 40 cubits to the roof. And so,
where would the veil be in proportion to that? Where would the second
veil? Where
would it be hanging?
Okay, if you can perceive I'm gonna draw. Okay. We have a first story and a second story. And here, you have two veils on the bottom floor, separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Upstairs, there's one veil. Okay? Separating the two.
Joe, I'm still a little confused or puzzled.
It would sit right here.
So again, the same question.
Right. Can you see this? Right. It would be in the same place as the downstairs bell. Yeah. Here, let's pass this around, but let it come back to Daryl. It shows the bells. Oh, it doesn't show the top. The top one would be immediately above the bottom ones. He's going to draw it in.
But now, actually, what is this obscuring? Because, of course, they were supposed to go in there, what, every 7 years and clean anyhow.
Okay, Beverly, can I see your illustration?
What are we actually obscuring with this plate?
There are holes all along the wall except where the veil, in front of the veil. Okay, and those holes are called lulim. And they, once every 7 years, they'll let a priest in a cage down each one of these holes to clean in the actual Kodesh HaKodeshim.
You couldn't see a great deal even if you were up there, you know.
Well, that's, no, you wouldn't be able to see a great deal.
That's where Josiah was?
That's Yoash. That's where they feel that he
was housed.
That's right. For till the seventh year. Okay, now, on the two veils downstairs, in between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, you have the Kerubim. And we'll be talking next week in detail about that. By the way, I did find the reference for that. It is in Me'amloez. Okay, now, the veil that is over the doorway going into the holy place. In other words, you have a door right here. Actually, it's half the height of the room. It stands 20 cubits high. And there is a porch. I don't know how to draw the porch, but there is a porch. Just like that. It's way out of proportion, though. Now, this ain't gonna work because this is up this way and this is this way, okay? But I don't know what I can do. No, that doesn't work either. The door here and to the porch stands 40 cubits high. It's twice the height of the door going into the holy place. Okay, now that veil has the heavens up on it. That is how it's decorated. It has the heavens on it. It specifically does not have the zodiac. And we're not saying that because they didn't use the zodiac. They very definitely used the zodiac, but that was not the design and decoration of this particular veil. Now, the heavens being open is a direct reference to the veil of the temple being opened. And it has a direct relationship to, this is the veil that is referred to about when Yeshua was resurrected, when Yeshua was slain. There's a question as to whether it was when he was slain or when he was resurrected. It's irrelevant to tonight's message. But when the veil was rent, that what you had inside was revealed. What you had inside was revealed. And the expression over and over of the heavens or the windows of heaven being opened is a reference to a revelation of God.
What's the reference about that veil being when it's open, that's the veil, of course, being the heavens? The reference for, you know, that veil you're talking about is the porch. When you say when the heavens are open, talking about that veil, I assume being open.
Okay. Okay, I have a list, but I don't have it with me. It was 2 weeks ago we did that, and I couldn't recall those off the top of my head, but there's a whole list of passages.
The veil from obscuring the holy place, now is it on the porch or just inside the door of the holy place?
It's just inside the door of the holy place. Okay? It's just inside that door. Okay. Right. Once you have entered into the door, it's almost like a hallway. It's so thick. Because it'll be 5 cubits. And the cubit is 20.67 inches. And so you have like an 8 or 9 foot distance that is the doorway itself. Okay. Somewhere I have a lid. Y'all see it? Okay. I want you to turn in your Bible, please. Before you do, it says, the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. The two is a structure of Hebrew parallelism. In other words, the expression, the heavens were open, saw visions of God, is one says the same as the other. It is a repeat. Okay, now, please go in your Bibles to Bereshit, Genesis, and chapter 1. You know that hand in hand with studying the Maaseh Merkavah, you also studied the Maaseh Bereshit, which is the story of creation. And we're going to go to the 14th verse. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years. Okay, so we have the lights that are placed in the heavens are there for signs and for seasons. And we're going to discuss this a little bit. The first thing that we have to discuss is the calendar. And in the calendar, you have a calendar that is a calendar of God, and then you have a calendar that is a calendar of man. So let's talk about several pieces of information concerning the calendar. First off, God does not institute one calendar, rather He institutes four calendars. And all four of the calendars are biblical. You have 4 days during the year that are called Rosh Hashanah. If you want to read about those days, go to the tractate of the Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah 1:1. Of course, one of your Rosh Hashanahs is going to be Tishri 1, which is when we say Rosh Hashanah today, that's what everyone thinks of. Another one, and your second most prominent, is Nisan 1. The other one I'm going to mention for tonight is Tishri 15, which is called Tu B'Shevat, which is the new year for the trees. The new year for the trees. Arbor Day is what it's called frequently today, but it's the new year for the trees.
Does it make a distinction like there's one religious, one civil?
You have one religious, one civil, then you have one that is agriculture and one is for tithing. Okay, so they all have different functions and purposes. All right, now, is it Elul 1? The question is, what was the fourth one? It's Elul 1. Oh, here, I can read Rosh Hashanah 1:1 to you. There are 4 new years. On the first of Nisan is the new year for kings and for festivals. On the first of Elul is the new year for the tithe of animals. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon say, on the first of Tishri, on the first of Tishri is the new year for years, for sabbatical years and for jubilee years, for planting and for vegetables. And on the first of Shabbat is the new year for trees, according to the view of the school of Shammai. But the school of Hillel say, on the 15th thereof. In other words, in the halakha is accepted for the school of Hillel over the school of Shammai. Nisan 1 is for the for kings and for festivals. And the first of Elul is for vegetables, agriculture. All right, now God will institute festivals. And He tells the people that they are to observe the festivals in their seasons. Okay, so to observe the festival in its season, you have a problem. Because we have a 365-day solar year. With a leap year, once every 4 years, except in the century year. You don't have a leap year in the year 2000. Okay? A lunar year is 354 days. And so there's a discrepancy between the two. If you went with a strict lunar calendar, you would be in trouble very fast. Because if we take, we have an 11-day difference. If we took and said on the Julian calendar that April 1st was Passover, then next year, let's say that that's in 1997, in 98... it would be, what is it? 20. From 30 days, it's 20th, March 20th. And then in 99, It's going to be the 9th. And then in the year 2000, we're in February. Okay, so about what, February 27th? And then we could come down to, let's see, let's get a 7-year cycle here.
Of course, that won't really happen because it'd be so far out.
Exactly. Okay, you subtract 11 days from this and you come to the 16th. And in the 7th year, you're celebrating Passover and the festival of the first fruits of your barley harvest about February 5th. And if the first 7-year cycle didn't get you, you're certainly going to be in trouble in the second year, 7-year cycle. Okay, so you have to intercalate a month. Leap year in a Jewish calendar is where that you add a 13th month. 6 times approximately every 17 years. And it's important approximately because there are exceptions. Up until the time of Hillel II, which was approximately the time of Constantine, the calendar was set by the Nasi, or president of the Sanhedrin. He had the authority to declare the new month had begun. And what he did, based upon the testimony of 2 reliable and qualified witnesses, then he declared that it was the new month. It was not the collective consent of the Sanhedrin, but it was the consent of the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. Okay, years pass, and the Samaritans, good word for Samaritans, they're the stinkers in the scripture. Okay, they really are. One of the questions that we had on Monday night, a few weeks ago, was why did they have all the guards in the temple? The reason was that the Samaritans had come and thrown some dead bodies into the temple and created quite, you know, got a lot of people upset. But at any rate, the Samaritans had messed up the system. The way that it worked is on the Mount of Olives, when the Nasi declared that the new moon had begun, a signal fire was lit. And it could be seen at a distance on another mountain, and they lit a signal fire there, and then it could be seen at another distance. And these signal fires were actually going out like the spokes of a wagon. But the Samaritans, a few days before the expected new moon, would light signal fires on mountains in the area by the signal mountain. And then they would burn them for a few days after. So they caused a lot of confusion. And so they went to a mathematical equation to arrive for a calendar. All right, now, remember that I said 6 times every 17 years. Okay, now, you add a month. You know that you have your months. And I hope that all of you know your months. If we were starting in the month of Nisan, you would have Nisan, and then Zif, or Iyar. Iyar is what it's called today. Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishri, Heshvan, anciently called Bul, Kislev, Tevet, Shavat, and Adar. Adar being your 12th month. And Adar being the month that you celebrate Purim. However, in leap year, you do not celebrate Purim in Adar. It is celebrated in Vayadar. They add another Adar. They go through Adar twice. And the festival of Purim is celebrated in that month, the 13th month. Okay, so on the mathematical equation, you have some problems that will come up every 1,000 years or so. Not very frequently. But scripturally, to have the month of Nisan, and being that you have the festival of the first fruit of the barley, you must have the barley ripe. And if it is not ripe, then you're off. This year is the exception to the rule. This year, we have leap year. This year we have second Adar. The only problem is, it wasn't necessary. On this particular one, it was not necessary because the barley is ripe by the 15th of Adar. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, they didn't have to put the month in. The calendar was fine without the month. Which is very interesting. Because on Vayadar 14 and 15, which this year, the 15th, is going to be March 23rd. It should really be Passover. Passover this year falls on April 22nd. Your first Seder is the night of the 21st. And so... we have some very significant points that are going to happen within 48 hours of March 23rd. The comet Helbop, is that how you pronounce it? Helbop? Named after the two people just a few minutes apart. The comet Helbop will come on March 23rd, the closest to the Earth. Its entire journey. Also within 48 hours of the 23rd is the spring equinox. Also you have a lunar eclipse which is visible from Jerusalem with a red moon. All of that happens on that date.
Are any of those singularly common? The comet, the moon, or that? I mean, is it just a combination?
No, it's not common at all. In fact, I started working on this as I was flying to Odessa. I was flying American Airlines, and you know they have a little airline magazine, and they had an article on astronomy, and they had an article inside that article on what is significant in 1997. And so, you know, it's you read it and you say, this seems a little bit odd that it falls at the time of the festivals. And then you get into searching into it and the plot thickens, okay, to where it makes the hair stand up on the back of your head. Even if you didn't have any hair, it would. Okay, so...
Joe, the blood moon is that considered when it is blocked out? Is that what they call it also, or is that just something that'll happen then?
It's where that I'm not sure how it happens. I will try to have that in a few weeks, but I won't go into it tonight. But the moon literally turns red. We had two of them last year, but they do not happen. I mean, it sounds like one this year, two last year, that's a real frequent occurrence. It's not. It's an unusual occurrence. But there is a prophecy in the book of Yoel that before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, that the moon will turn blood. You got to speak louder. I can't hear you. I know no one else can.
So the two this last year were the first night of Passover and the first night of Sukkot.
How about that? Okay, now, remember... Okay, what he said, God said that he put the lights in the heavens for signs and for seasons. Okay?
The way of reckoning in the Tanakh is the Tekufa, the solstice. During the solstice with the Hebrews, the Tekufa. So, would that be more of an accurate way? I mean, he's saying that the...
blood moon was last year, and then this year would be during the solstice, or?
I don't know. I really don't. I'm a beginner at this. Okay, you ready to turn?